Well, good evening, class. We have a good lesson for you today. First of all, I want you to turn your Bible with me to Matthew 8. We're going to begin at verse 5. We're talking about today the first lesson a worker should learn is to obey authority. And that's one of the first lessons he needs to know. And that statement is going to be further explained as we go down the lesson. But Matthew 8. We're going to talk about a centurion believe in the Lord's authority. And he's one of the perfect example that Jesus used to explain and give us insight on how authority works and the purpose of this authority in the earth realm. And remember, we're always talking about a heaven-to-earth government under the apostolic. We're living under the apostolic government in these last days, and we need to understand authority as God sees it. All right? So Matthew 8, we're going to look at verse 5. It stated, and when Jesus would enter into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him or begging him, saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that thou shalt come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I'm a man under, if you got your Bibles, underline the word under every time you see it. For I'm a man under authority, having soldier under me, and I say unto this man, go, and he goeth, and to another come, and he cometh, and to another do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard this, the Bible said, he marveled and said unto them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith. Jesus called his faith, great faith. No, not in all Israel. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, but the children of the kingdom shall be cast into the outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And we're about to see the results of this. And Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, as thou hast believed, be it done unto thee. As thou hast believed, be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in that self same moment, or that self same hour. Now, class, this illustration that Jesus gave about this centurion, it will mark the whole lesson for the day, because we're going to understand authority from Jesus' point of view. And we are under men's authority, as well as having men under our authority. This is our position. You see it? We are under men's authority, as well as having men under our authority. This is our position. And that's for this centurion position. He understood authority because he was under authority. We also understand he had men under him. And when you tell his men to do this, they did it. You tell one to come, they came. And so he understood that that's how the authority works. And told Jesus, speak the one word only, you know, and my servant shall be healed. And Jesus marveled at that. We are under men's authority. Even the Lord Jesus on earth was subject not only to God, but also to others' authority. Now, because this lesson is a lesson that haven't been taught too much within the body of Christ, I thank God for Apostle that set up this lesson in this Bible college. Because this lesson haven't been taught or haven't been properly taught, men, women, generations have failed to come to the place that God wanted them to come to because they never really understood how this authority works. So my reason for saying that is because authority is everywhere. Everybody say that with me. Authority is everywhere. You got to find it. And if you can't find it if you don't know how to look for it. Well, that's what this lesson is about, to help you look for authority, because you need to know who's in authority that you may submit. And because of lack of knowing who's in authority, the church has failed to the point of submitting to God's authority, because they don't understand that God set up all authorities and expect all authority to be obeyed. All right? So once you know that authority is everywhere, the authority in the school, authority in the home, the policeman on the street, though perhaps less learned than you, is set up by God as your authority. He may not understand that he is God's delegated authority. And so he don't know how to function in that position, but God set it up. And so we have to understand all these three spheres of authority, or rather all these rims of authority. I like to say authority in the world system, authority in the home, and authority within the church. And all those different rims have to be obeyed, because they're all covered and set up by God. Whenever a few brothers in Christ come together, immediately a spiritual order falls into place. And that's another good statement. Whenever men gather, Christians gather in one setting, that's a divine order that needs to be recognized. And the church haven't had eyes to see this and to recognize it. They always believe that everyone is equal. Well, if you go on with that attitude, everyone is equal, you will never submit to God's authority, and you're always going to end up in the place of being a rebellious person, because God always has order. God always has ranks of authority that he expects us to obey. And if we lack that knowledge, you'll never come to the realm of understanding authority and how to walk in that divine obedience. So once you know it's everywhere, you need to be looking for it. A Christian, remember this statement, a Christian worker ought to know who is above him. A Christian worker needs to know who is above him. Some do not know who are the authorities above them, hence they do not know to obey. Hence they do not obey. If you don't know who's an authority, then it's impossible to obey. So you have to be able to recognize authority. And before you can obey, you have to have understanding how this authority works. So it might sound like vain, plain words that I'm speaking, but these words are going to prepare us to walk in this realm of obedience. Always, always be looking for authority. And once that, how would I say that? Once that understanding of authority comes, you naturally, without even consciously thinking about it, looking for who's in authority, looking for whom you ought to submit, because you don't want to violate authority, knowing it's not just man's authority, but it's been settled by God. And once you learn to do that, then God has a handle on you. God has a hold on you. God has the ability to take you to places that others won't be able to go, because you know your heart is ready to submit and to obey to anyone whom you put in authority. You have to get to the point where you be able to say that, Lord, I'm willing to submit to whomsoever you put in authority. I don't care how young, I don't care how old, I don't care if I know them or not know them, but it's a spiritual order that God has set up. And the church has to come to that. But we're going to find out that you have to meet God's authority to understand what we were saying. It doesn't just come by overnight. Authority, understand authority, submission, don't just come by practicing. Submitting to authority, don't just come by observation. It comes by revelation. It has to be a truth revealed into your heart. I was talking to my wife about this last night. I said, this lesson on authority is similar with understanding, almost like the money coming message that God gave Apostle. And we were speaking about that's a divine revelation. that and the apostles say it all the time, there's going to be only a remnant that's going to walk in this revelation. Why? Because they have to understand the principle that God set forth behind it, and it takes a certain revelation to walk in it. Well, so like this lesson on obedience, so like this lesson on submission, there has to be a revelation that God put in your heart concerning this lesson, and you have to come to the place of seeing it and understanding it and walking in it. And there's some dying you have to do. Well, Apostle Paul say, I die daily. Jesus made a statement. Jesus said, except you deny yourself and take up your cross to follow me, and that's the only way you're going to see it. John the Baptist said, he must increase and I must decrease. And it's a lowering of yourself, and most people don't want to lower themselves. Humble yourself in the sight of the Almighty God, and in due time, he's going to exalt you. I just paraphrase that. But you have to come to the place of not thinking yourself more highly than you ought to. You have to come to a place of understanding that he that loses life for my sake, the same shall gain it. You have to lose your life. And you have to understand that statement Jesus made about losing your life. If you lose your life, he says, you shall find it. So these are some statements concerning submission to authority. And if oneself cannot die, cannot deny himself, cannot lower himself under his own estimation of who he is, then you never be walking this revelation of submission. Then God can only take you so far, and that's it. God cannot take you to the places that he wants you to go, because you have to lower yourself in your own estimation. You have to humble yourself. Yep. So you must know who the authority above me that I may obey. We should not be occupied with right or wrong, good or evil. Rather, should we know who is in authority above us? And I was also thinking, meditating along this line. I know what's wrong with this generation today. And when I say what's wrong with this generation, there's no sense of authority in this generation. We go back to the Garden of Eden. God never meant for Adam and Eve to function in the realm of right and wrong. Right and wrong always has been God in God's hand. And for someone to function in right and wrong, it is leaving the principle of authority and taking up the position of authority upon oneself. You become the judge. You become the one that make decision and not let God make the decision for you, right and wrong. And so here's this, let me get back to this generation. Here's what this generation missed it. That's a generation full of knowledge. And Paul said, knowledge puff it up. And with that knowledge that rising up in these last days, internet knowledge, I mean, computer, you can put a word in, put a question in, you can put anything in, and then you get an answer for it, and then you already know. So I know. So you won't listen to anyone. You won't listen to anybody in authority. And then you become equal with those authorities out of knowledge, because you're functioning under the principle of right and wrong. And you might see it in some of your kids, in some of your children. You might see it in your peers. And what's happening is you can't give any wisdom, any knowledge, because they already know, because they're operating in the principle of knowledge. Not only the principle of knowledge, but the principle of knowledge of right and wrong. And when you got the principle of right and wrong, you're saying, I have all the answers already. I don't have to submit to what you say. And so that's the principle of rebellion. And it's sneaking in within the church from the blind side. It's operating in the principle of rebellion, and then you can't see it coming in, but it's showing its head. And then that principle of rebellion rising higher than the principle of submission. And so the only way to remedy that is this knowledge of authority has to come into play, knowing that God's authority in everything, And God never intended us to function under right and wrong. He wants to function under him and trust in him to lead us by his spirit to direct us into what's right. God wants to direct us into right and wrong, not for us to try to figure it out ourselves. And that was the fall of man. That was the fall of Adam. Once he became knowledgeable that this tree was good for food, and then he ate the food, and then it was opened up until the principle of right and wrong was in his hand, and he became like a God. And so after the fall, God had to deal with him in such a way. God had to get him out of the garden because man was going to destroy himself after that. And God had to bring him back into a place of submission. And see, and so from that point on, God had to always have someone over man to govern him. Man could not govern himself. He gave up the right to govern himself because he became knowledgeable of the principle of good and evil, which God never wished us to have ever experienced. So, once we learn to whom we must be subject, we naturally find our place in the body. Now, so with that being said, the hardest part is coming to knowledge of authority. And it only comes through the knowledge of revelation through the word of God. And our attempt today is to bring us there. So listen to the statement. How many Christians today have not the faintest idea concerning subjection? No wonder there is so much confusion and disorder. For this reason, obedience to authority is the first lesson a worker ought to learn. They have not the slightest idea of how to submit. Why should I have to submit when I have the knowledge of good and evil working for me? Why should I have to submit when I have all knowledge in all things? Because this demonic system have already given me all this knowledge. So, why should I submit to you when I know more than you? I'm trying to bring the principle together in this generation to show you how Satan have deceived us with this knowledge of good and evil and does not want us to come to the place of submitting and obeying. And so it's a very, very important lesson we're teaching, and you must to understand that. So I'm going to make this statement here. This knowledge of good and evil, or this lesson that a worker should learn on obedience, it affects a large place in the work of God itself. Why? Because God is trying to get his plan from heaven to earth government, and we already have the idea of how we think it ought to go because of the knowledge of good and evil. So we determine how things should go in the earth realm without even submitting unto God to find out how we want to do this to God. What is your will here, God? But you don't ask God for something you think you already know. And that's an awkward position for a Christian to get in because that's an element of deception. How many Christians today have not the faintest idea concerning subjection? So obedience must be recovered. Say that together with me, class. Obedience must be recovered. It got lost through the fall. Jesus died, and he's the author of obedience. I mean, Hebrews and Philippians talks about how God exalted him, and he holds the highest level of obedience by dying on the cross. So if anyone knows obedience, Jesus knows how to be obedient. And so he's already recovered it for us. But it only comes through the knowledge of God's word that we walk in this place of obedience. Now let me make this statement here. Since the fall of Adam, disorder has prevailed in the universe. Everyone thinks he's able to distinguish good and evil and to judge what is right and wrong. I'm trying to give you to understand that everyone thinks he knows. Everyone thinks he's able to distinguish good and evil. Well, you can say good and evil are right and wrong. You see it? And to judge what is right or what's wrong. So if I got that ability to do that, why should I have to submit when I already know? I see it so much, class. I see it so much in the young children, even the young children. They have that so much knowledge. My little grandson was telling me things that I didn't know. But Papa, this, and I said, good Lord, where you get all the information from? And so you try to correct them, but they already got an answer for everything. So why I got to submit to you, Papa, when I already know? You see it? And so we've got to break that back of that demon on the knowledge of good and evil and bring them back unto the revelation of God's word on obedience. And that's what we're here in this class for. How to recover obedience back to the church. How to recover obedience back to our home. How to take our place back, authority in the home. How to take authority back in the church. And how to take authority back in the world system. God wants us to know how to do this. And there has to be a recovery or the church will not be able to function like God wants it to function. He seemed, talking about those that walk in knowledge of good and evil, he seemed to know better than God. My goodness. Well, he seemed to know better than God. And this is one of the reasons why this lesson, again, is so important. He seemed to know better than God because he doesn't inquire of God after a while. He doesn't follow the Spirit of God after a while. He doesn't get to the place of saying, Lord, I don't know what to do, but my eyes on you. But no, this knowledge always tells you what to do. I know exactly what to do. And so I don't have to, what I need God for? Why I got to submit to God when I know what to do? And so I see it so plainly. He seemed no better than God. This is the folly of the fall. We need to be delivered from such a deception because this is nothing other than rebellion. And now that word, Clad, is a word that people don't want to touch them. And the reason they don't want to touch them because they don't want to associate with being a rebellious person. And Satan has slid this deception within the church into the hearts of men. And they're functioning in self and self-will and self-knowledge and getting all the answers themselves that they seem no better than God. But God is riding up a generation that's learning to obey him and submit to them. And I'm in that generation. How about you? You want to submit to God. You want to submit to the delegated authority. You want to submit to our leader. And so. So we need to be delivered from such a deception because this is nothing other than rebellion. We got to understand that, Claire. We must understand it. Our knowledge of obedience is woefully inadequate. I'm going to say it again. Our knowledge of obedience is woefully inadequate. What does that mean? That means we're lacking in the knowledge of obedience. So we need to learn from God's point of view how God operates from the scripture. I'm just putting some format here. We're going to see as we go on with this class how this obedience is going to be recovered. It's going to be recovered only through revelation. Remember I told you that. I'm just putting down some formats now. Some seem to think that their obedience is complete and full upon their obedience to the Lord in baptism. They think it's complete because they accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior and it stopped right there. And they think that's all I need the Lord for, just to save me. I'm saved now. I'm going to heaven, but I'm going to run this life myself. I don't need God to lead me. I don't need God to guide me. I don't need nobody else to tell me what to do. I don't need no correction because I know what to do. Many young students look upon God's command to obey their teachers as harsh treatment. And they don't think they have to obey. They don't think they need to obey. That's a frightening position that this world is in today. And the church have succumbed to it. The church have yielded to that spirit of disobedience. The church have yielded to that spirit and that of deception that have creeped into the church and into the body of Christ. And now the young people have caught it like a hook in the fish mouth. And Satan is reeling them in with this deception because now they know all. Knowledge of good and evil. Hope you understand what I'm saying, Claire. We're dealing with the root of it. The root of the matter. All right? Many wives. Now, we know that trouble in home. We know that's problem with submission in the home. We know the arguments that go on between husband and wife, children and parents. We know the disruption that's in the home. Well, all this can be corrected by understanding this revelation. All this can be corrected when they understand the art of submission and God's order for the church. All this can be annihilated. All the problem, husband and wife, fathers and sons, mothers and daughters, children to their parents, all this can be devoured by the understanding of this lesson here. But there has to be a revelation. God has to give you a revelation of it. You see it? And a revelation of submission. A revelation of obedience. And once we get the revelation, we can walk in it. But you can become another person. You become another man. You become another woman. You become another child when you understand that. You take Jesus' yoke upon you. I'm meek. Notice what he said. Jesus said, I'm meek. And I'm lowly in heart. As he humbled. He humbled himself. Yeah. He respected mother and father. When he was in the temple. And he was questioning the doctors and the lawyers of the law. And his mother came and said, he said, we've been looking for you for 3 days. He said, did you not know I'd be about my father? He had the spiritual authority, but yet he submitted himself to his parents because even though he was their authority, even as a child, but yet he submitted himself from God's authority to child to parents' authority. And the Bible said, and he went with them. He consented unto them. He went with them. He submitted to them. So even though he was under God's authority, and he has the right to say, don't you know? God called me to do this. I'm not coming with you. And he would have been perfectly in order, in the order of God point of view. But because God said there's a divine order upon the earth that I need children to submit to parents, Jesus had to submit to his parents. And even though he was called by God to do what he was doing. So what are you saying, instructor? What are you saying, instructor? We're saying that God will not supersede authority. My goodness. God will not excuse ignorance. All right. So many wives consider divine commandment of being subject to difficult husbands as quite cruel. You know, you might have a husband that don't quite understand the word of God, may not even be born again, but yet God put him as a head, was he walking in that position of authority, there still has to be some submission in it. How what do you mean? You submit as far as you can submit, because that's the will of God. Do I have to submit to a husband in everything? No, I didn't say everything, and I didn't say anything. The Bible says, wives submitting to your husband in everything, but we're saying as long as it doesn't cross the path of God's divine will. But there has to be some submission. Or the authority is going to break down in the home. And when the authority breaks down in the home, it's going to affect not only the husband and wife, but also going to affect the children. Because they're going to be misunderstood. That's the first lesson of authority is in the home. They're going to be confused. A mama never listened to daddy. So I don't have to listen to daddy, neither mama. And so it breaks down. It breaks down in the home. And the home becomes weak and helpless because the knowledge of authority is not there. The submission is not there. And so the family structure breaks down. Now, that's just the natural side of it. But we're going to go into scripture as we progress in this class to show you why is it breaking down. How do we remedy it? How do we remedy it? Well, we got to unfold this ugly monster of rebellion first. We're unfolding and taking the cover off of him so we can see exactly what it is. And then you can see the damage that it does in homes, the damage that it does in churches, the damage that it does in the world system. The world system of government is totally confused right now because there's no more authority set up in the earth realm. Everybody is their own authority. And the system has been broken down, but it's up to the church to restore this back to the system. You see it? Members do not respect their pastors. Wives do not respect their husband. Children do not respect their parents. And the church is responsible, sad to say, the church is responsible for the church walking in obedience. And that's why this one is a valuable lesson. Because you cannot do the will of God until you submit to God's will and God's delegated authority. And that's why the church has been in war among themselves. Can two walk together, step to be agreed? No, they cannot walk together, but there has to be some level of submission. And class, I prayerfully desire that you understand what we're saying. Now listen to this now. Countless children are living today in a state of rebellion. They have not so much as learned the first lesson in obedience. And they don't. Now, we grew up in different areas, in different era, in different time, when no meant no and yes meant yes. When my father said no, you never challenged him. That was the end of the statement. That was the end of the argument. When my mother said no, that was the end of it. We never changed the child. Why? Why no? That was the children act today because they don't understand. Because they got a reason for they got answers and they got right and wrong on their side, and so they know better than their parents now. But when we were growing up, there was no such thing as us talking back to our parents. Because that was a reverence of respect. Our father was a father of integrity. And he kept us disciplined. My mom kept us disciplined. Because she always kept God's word and the fear of God before us. And we always feared God more than anything else. Even though we didn't understand him. We feared God. And it wasn't so much a reverential fear. Sometimes it was a human fear. But we knew that we were supposed to respect God. You know, you do that, God gonna punish you. I didn't understand all that. I said, oh, God, you punish your children. It confused me, but I had fear and respect. So certain things I didn't do. I came up in a time when my mother wouldn't even let us do certain things on Sunday because it was a Sabbath day. They didn't have the knowledge we have today. Sometimes, you know, we lost reverence for Sunday. For God's day. People do everything now on Sunday. But we couldn't do this on Sunday. We couldn't even iron your clothes on Saturday. Because we don't iron on Sunday. Because that's the Sabbath day. Keep it holy. And it kept us holy, all right. You know, but we had a reverence. What am I saying? Should we go back to this, the law? No, I'm not saying that. But it kept the reverence of God before us. We always knew that that God always expected us to do certain things. That there were laws that govern us. And we operated under those laws. that were before us. There were rules that we had to follow. We couldn't play ball all night. And when it gets dark, it's time to come in. You see it? So when we see the sun going down over the tree, boy, we gather up our gloves and our balls and bats, and whether everybody else left or not, it's on you. I know I need to be going because I got a rule that governs me. It said when it started getting dark, we ain't had no cell phone to call us. No, that was the sign. When it started getting dark, you make it home. And we did that. We made our way home before it got dark. And so those set of rules kept us in a place of submission. I remember one of my brothers, I'm going to tell this story, but I'm just trying to show you how time has gotten away from this respect and reverence and submission. We don't listen to words of our parents no more. There's no authority in words anymore. Words are just a play of words. You can justify everything with words today. And no don't mean no. And so children don't respect that. And so my dad, just years ago, my oldest two brothers, and I'm going to close after this, but I need to tell the story so you understand. It might be a little comical, but you understand what I'm saying. I'm trying to show how the authority got to come back in the home. Parents got to have a word. Parents got to have their authority in place. And parents got to stand fast to what they say and mean what they say and say what they mean and have God, because God's going to back you up, because God all for authority. God all for rules and leading children into the right way. Well, nevertheless, my father told my, they wanted to go to, back then they had a record house. My brother was going to go to the record house and wanted to use my dad's car. And he was 18 and one was 16. They all raised us 2 years apart. And so my older brother, he was driving and dad lent the car. And dad said, 12 o'clock, I want you to be back here, 12 o'clock. And so my other brother tells the story. He would tell it comically. He said it was 5 minutes to 12. He said, man, you better be going. Dad said, be home for 12. He said, oh, man, one more dance. So they get home, 12:15. My dad, I'm trying to hurry, my dad was still dressed in his clothes, sitting at the dining room table, waiting on them, and fully dressed. And he said, and when they opened the door, he said, I thought I told you all to be here for 12 o'clock. Well, my older brother said, well, Dad, just 12:15. See, I said 12 o'clock. And he got his big strap out, 18 years old now. Yeah, well, he's 18 or 16. He got his strap out and began to whip my older brother. And the brother that was under him, I mean, they're both going to be with the Lord now. But my brother that was under him, he said, he ran to get on his knees and say the prayer. He said, surely Dad ain't going to whip me while I'm on my knees. And said, my dad stood over him. And with it, he got to say his prayer and said, Daddy, why are you with me for? I wasn't driving. So, yeah, but you were with him. And he whipped, got the same with him. Well, what it did, it taught them authority. It taught them submission. And that word meant something. My dad's word meant something. He was stern, but he kept authority in the home. And that's been a lost thing today. Parents are not consistent with their children. I'm trying to show you something. They're not consistent with raising their children with rules. And rules regulate. Rules set perimeters. Rules reveal whether the children are rebellious or whether the children are submissive. Now, we're going to find a story with Ham and dealing with the father, Noah, in one of the next lessons. About how Noah and his father, Noah and his son, had to correct his son. His son thought he was right, but nevertheless, God corrected him. Well, class, I wish I could go further, but I want you to know you've been a good class, and so we're going to catch up next week. Been a good class. I'll see you next week. Go in peace.